Hi, girl. This is Mrs. Berger. I hope you're all enjoying your time off. If we were in school now, we would be well on our way learning about Chodesh Nisan and Pesach, Haggadah, very exciting things coming up. Today we're going to learn about Chodesh Nisan in general, and then in Mirat Hashem, over the next week and a half, however long we have left, we'll be at the Hashem start learning about Pesach and the Haggadah. Just about the Haggadah, just so you should know, an email was sent out to your parents letting them know that for those of you who are interested in and able to pick up an actual Haggadah that you would have received, they will be available in two locations over the next day, Wednesday and Thursday. Anytime, you can go to the Katz home at 3909 Labyrinth or the Zweig home at 6003 Stewart and pick up a Haggadah. That way, when you listen to the recording, you can write things down, and you can come to the Seder with a Haggadah with some information in it, however much we manage. And what's very nice about a sixth-grade Haggadah, I mean, your notes, the actual Haggadah has all the words in it, so you don't have to juggle a school Haggadah and a Haggadah with the actual words in it, and your wine or grape juice and your matzah. At Baruch Hashem, a squishy table, it's all in one. So if you are able to, then you can get a Haggadah, and over the next few classes, you can write things down as I speak. But like I said, today we're first going to discuss Chodesh Nisan. This week is Shabbos Nevarchim. Next week is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So about Chodesh Nisan. So first, what are some names of Chodesh Nisan? So one we are most familiar with, number one, is Chodesh Nisan. A lot of you are probably thinking, oh, I know Chodesh Aviv. Why Chodesh Aviv? Because, first of all, Nisan is in the spring. Aviv means spring. Also, if you break Aviv into two words, break it down the middle, what do you come up with? Av Yod Beis. Av, father, Yod Beis, 12. Nisan is the father of all 12 months, meaning it's ahead of the month. So we said first it's called Chodesh Nisan, and number two called Chodesh Aviv because it's in the spring and because it's Av Yod Beis. The Torah calls it Chodesh HaRishon. The Torah calls it by number. Chodesh HaRishon, this is the first month. So there are three names of Chodesh Nisan. Now, what are some minhagim we do in Nisan? So first of all, we say bracha on the trees. Remember to say it when we see a tree, a fruit tree blossoming. We say a beautiful bracha that we only get to say in Chodesh Nisan. In this bracha, we say thank you, Hashem, for not, you know, for making a world that doesn't lack anything and creating beautiful, beautiful things in it. You know, God, Hashem could have created, you know, apples, the nutrition in apples, except apples could have looked like a black box, and they could have just like cardboard. Hashem could have made them just as nice and taste like cardboard because he wanted to make it nice for us. These beautiful, shiny red, yellow, green apples make it so sweet. Some are sweet, some are sour, in case you like different types of tastes. So we say thank you, Hashem, for so many different types of creation, so many different types of things that you make in this world. And again, it's a special bracha we only get to say in Nisan. So it's important not to forget it. Another minhag we have in Chodesh Nisan has to do with matzah. A lot of people don't have a minhag not to eat matzah from Chodesh Nisan all the way until Pesach. You get to the Seder night, and it's exciting to have matzah again. It's not something you've been eating all year. Different people have different minhagim. Some people start from Chodesh Nisan. Other people start before, after. So you keep your family's minhag. So we said, Minhag Chodesh Nisan, say bracha on the trees, Masa for Chodesh Nisan until Pesach. And a third thing that is done in Chodesh Nisan is called Ma'us Chitim. What is Ma'us Chitim? So Ma'us means money. Chitim, like chita, means wheat. Money for wheat. What is Ma'us Chitim? Ma'us Chitim is money that's collected to purchase flour, which is distributed to the Aniyim, the poor people for Pesach. Ma'os chitim, it's money for wheat, so that even poor people can have matzah for Pesach. Now, we don't just stop with matzah. Of course, it's money that goes for buying wine and meat and fish and everything they're going to need for Yom Tov. Ma'os chitim is an important thing to keep in mind. You know, money that's collected to give anyone what they need for Pesach. And also, besides actual help, an interesting idea we see here that, you know, Pesach is a time of chirus, a time of freedom. And if we want to truly feel free, we have to know that we did everything in our power to help another person. As Yidden, we feel for each other, and we can't feel completely free if we know that our neighbor, our friend, somebody we know, somebody our neighbor knows, if we know that they don't have what they need. In order for me and you to feel free, we need to know that we took care of everybody we could. Everyone who needs help has been helped. Anyone who needs money has the money that they need to purchase what they need for Yantif. So by us giving, not only do we help them feel the Yantif, but we ourselves are able to enjoy the Yantif. We know, you know, again, as Yidden, we can't feel comfortable ourselves if we know somebody else is uncomfortable. I heard a beautiful story a long time ago about a family in Eretz Yisrael. It was in a time when you know, people were very poor. And there was a mother who was cooking a soup for her children for supper. And the family had very little money. And she was cooking the soup. And before she served the soup to her children, she said, "You know, children, this is all you're going to eat for supper. Each of you is going to get one bowl of soup. Enjoy it well, because that is all the nutrition I have for you for today. That's all we have left in our house." So she started dishing out the bowls of soup for the children. And as one of the boys was sitting down to eat, there was a knock on the door. And he opened the door, and there was a poor man standing there. And the poor man said, "Please, I'm starving. I haven't eaten in days. Can you have anything in your house for me?" And the young boy invited the poor man in and showed him to his seat, where there was a steaming bowl of delicious homemade soup waiting for him. And the poor man lifted up his spoon, and he started eating, and he felt revived, and his body, like the nourishment was going all over his body. And he thanked the boy, and he left. And the mother was watching this, and, you know, after the poor man left, she said to her son, "You know, I'm so proud of what you did, but you knew that was the last thing I had for you. You're going to be hungry now." And her son looks at her and says, "I know, Mommy, but I thought to myself, if I would eat that soup, it would last for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours later, again, I would be hungry. And I knew if I give him the soup, it's going to last forever, because a mitzvah lasts forever. But I thought to myself, how could I eat the soup myself? And, you know, it will be gone in a few hours. I'm going to be hungry again. But if I give that poor man my soup, it'll last forever because I did a mitzvah." Again, you know, it's the idea that we, as Yidden, we take care of each other, we feel for each other, and we give of ourselves to each other. So again, three minhagim l'chodesh elul, say a bracha on the trees, not eating matzah from Rosh Chodesh Nisan or whenever your minhag is, and ma'os chitim. Okay, coming closer in the month of Nisan towards Pesach, Shabbat HaGadol is the Shabbat before Pesach. Gadol, there was a great, great nace that Bnei Yisrael took the seth to bring for Korban Pesach. They took it a few days before. The Mitzrim were not, didn't do anything to them. The Mitzrim served the seth. And Bnei Yisrael are now leading the seth through the streets. And, you know, we're told that the Mitzrim were burning men of Bnei Yisrael. And they were fuming. They were ready to yell at them and to hurt them. But by nace, they weren't able to do anything. It was a big nace. The nace had the courage to just go against the Mithrim and do what they were commanded to do. And it was a big, huge nace, and the Mithrim did not do anything to harm them. Different minhagim are done on Shabbat HaGadol. Some people have minhag to read part of the Haggadah. A Rav speaks, you know, at length about the halachos of Pesach, and some people have minhag to review halachos of Pesach. Okay, coming closer, now let's discuss Pesach itself. What are some names of Pesach? The first one we'll discuss is Chag HaPesach, and we know Pesach means to pass over, to skip over, and Bnei Yisrael put blood on the doorposts for Makas Tachoros, and Hashem skipped over the houses of Bnei Yisrael. So we call the end of Pesach. We call it Pesach to remember the chesed of Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, while you're, you know, punishing all the Mitzrim, you saved us, and you skipped over our doors and didn't harm anybody in our house. So we call it Chag HaPesach. We don't call it any of other names. We call it Pesach. Thank you, Hashem. Pesach, Pesach, you skipped over our houses. Another name is Chag HaMatzos, of course, because it's a chiyuv, an obligation to eat matzah. And it's interesting, the Torah uses this name. The Torah doesn't call it Pesach. The Torah calls it Chag HaMasos. And the Torah uses this name, and it's, you know, highlighting the emunah of B'nai Yisrael and Hashem, how B'nai Yisrael believes in Hashem. Hashem says to go, Hashem says not to wait another minute, great, we'll go. We'll grab the dough we have, it will become us on our back, no problem. We trust Hashem has, you know, what's good for us in mind. So again, we call it Pesach, to remember the Chesed of Hashem, and the Torah calls it Chag HaMasos, you know, to highlight the emunah of B'nai Yisrael, Hashem and Hashem. This is a story I heard on the topic of the emunah of B'nai Yisrael and Hashem throughout the generation. The stories are of Aryeh Levin, that's all you probably all heard of, or many of you at least. And this is going back a while ago to when he lived in Eretz Yisrael. And again, this time in Eretz Yisrael, people were starving. Real, real, real starvation. Not like when we say I'm starving, but our cabinets are full of real starvation. And there was a wealthy man who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he lent a lot of people money. People who didn't have money to buy food, he would lend it to them. And it came to a point where Aryeh Levin's children were really starving. So he asked to lend some money. He went to a wealthy man, and this wealthy man who always said yes and always lent money said, no. No, Aryeh Levin, I'm not going to give you any. Why not? Why wouldn't he give Aryeh Levin money? He gives everyone else. Well, the rich man knew that he had to give everyone else money because if he wouldn't give them money, they would talk badly about him. Oh, he's so greedy. Oh, you know, he has so much money for himself and he doesn't give any of it away. But he said, you know, you are vitamin. You're so special. I know you wouldn't talk badly about me. So I'm not going to give you money and I know I'll be fine. You're not going to speak badly about me. Now, we're probably thinking that is still not fair. If anybody should get the money, it's a vitamin. But apparently this wealthy man didn't want to give him money. So Rabbi Levin couldn't believe this, and he told his wife what happened. And listen to the emunah of his wife. His wife said, okay, let's think this through. Why is he not giving you money? Is he not giving you money because he's not rich? No, he has plenty of money. Is he not giving you money because he's stingy? No, he's giving away a lot of his money to a lot of people. Is he not giving you money? Maybe he doesn't trust you. No, she says, because last week you found his gold coin in Shul, and you walked barefoot for 2 miles to return it to him. So he for sure knows that you're trustworthy. He for sure knows he could trust you. So if it's for none of those reasons, then why wouldn't he give it to you? Rahman's wife said, it must be that Hashem does not want our help to come from him. If he didn't give it to you, it must be, Hashem said, I have a different plan for you. I'll arrange money to come to you a different way. It must be Hashem didn't want our money to come from him. No reason to get mad at him. No reason to be nervous. Hashem has a different plan for us. And that was their emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That they believed, you know, we did what we could. Hashem will work it out. And, you know, days or weeks later, they got an envelope in the mail from a distant relative in America, I believe. I don't know if it was America or just overseas somewhere. And in that envelope was a lot of money that the relative, for some reason, had arranged to give them at this point without even knowing of their situation. So as we see, Aryeh Levin's wife was right. It was all Hashgacha of Hashem. Hashem didn't want their help to come from that man, but they received tremendous help from somewhere else. That's the emunah b'nei Yisrael and Hashem and Chag HaMasos. So we said so far, Pesach is called Chag HaPesach, Chag HaMasos. It's also called Zman, Cheru, Seinu, the time of our freedom, because we were freed from Mitzrayim, and they were slaves. They were really, really, really slaves, so enslaved, Hashem took us out. The fourth name is Chag HaAviv, because Pesach comes in the spring. You know, this is why we have leap years, to keep Pesach in the spring. Okay, so a big part of Pesach is not having chametz. What is chametz? Some girls tell me chametz is flour and water mixed together. But that can't be because what's matzah? Matzah is flour and water mixed together. So what is chametz? Chametz is flour from the chamishes mine dagan, five types of grain. It's made into dough, and it rises for more than 18 minutes before baking. If it rises for more than 18 minutes before baking, then it's chametz. So we're supposed to get rid of all chametz before Pesach, and we're also told that not only definitely physical chametz, but not only physical chametz, also, ruchni istikah chametz. What do I mean by ruchni istikah chametz? Well, what's the difference between challah and matzah? Masa is flat, it's low, it's humble. Chala is puffed up, haughty, arrogant. So when we get rid of chametz on Pesach, we're also supposed to get rid of, you know, the haughty, the arrogant, the puffed up. Nisbeth, the Yitzhahara is a big ball gaiva, and he's full of air, and he tries to convince us of, you know, doing different things because it's a ball gaiva. But on Pesach, we say, no more chala. We're going to have matzah. We're going to be low and humble and lower ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I had a friend who told me that when her older sister, whenever she burns the chametz, the Bikat chametz, we'll discuss in a minute, she writes down a certain midah that she's going to work on that year on improving in a certain, let's say, bad midah she wants to get rid of. And along with her chametz, she throws that paper in it with that bad midah. You know, the idea of we definitely want to clean our houses of chametz, that's the halacha. But also, you know, in a ruchnistic way to get rid of some of the yitzhahara in us. Which brings us to bedikas chametz. I'm sorry, when they burn the chametz, it's biur chametz. First, bedikas chametz. Bedikas chametz, we know the night before Pesach, which is Leil Yodalad Nisan, after Tisak Kochavim, the stars come out. We check our houses for chametz, make sure there's no chametz left. We use, think of three things we use, think of different, you know, projects your little siblings might bring home. A nair, a candle, a kaf, a spoon, and a feather. The bracha we say is al biur chametz, on the burning of the chametz. We don't say al bedikas chametz, the mitzvah is to burn the chametz. And something we do is, you might enjoy it, is minhag to hide 10 pieces of bread and then to find them. And the reason for this is because, let's say somebody did a really good job and clean their house perfectly, and they do the whole bedikas chametz, and they don't find any chametz. So really, the bracha they said of your chametz was a bracha lila, because they're not going to be burning any chametz. So if we hide 10 pieces of bread, then we know for sure we're going to find chametz, and the bracha won't be said lebatala. And after we check our whole house, we say kol chamira, short paragraph, that all the chametz that is left in our house to be like the dust of the earth. The next morning, Yodal and Nisan in the morning, we do have Bior Chametz. We burn the Chametz, Bior, like, you had last year, I believe, Hasna Bo'er Ba'ish, was burning with fire, Bior Chametz, burning Chametz. And after you burn the Chametz, again, you say Kol Chamira. One more thing about, two more things about Chametz. It is mutter to sell Chametz to a non-Jew before Pesach. And the way it's done is you give your Rav a list of everything you want to sell, and you sell the morning of your Dalid. I mean, it's a real thing. I don't know if it's true or not, but one of my friends did tell me that one Pesach, which is when I was in school, she told me that one Pesach they had a guy come into their house to take something that they sold. That's not occurring, but I just did want to bring that out, to bring out the idea that it's a real selling. Once you sell it, it's not yours for that point. I was once waiting at a certain location a few years ago, Erev Pesach. It happened to be that it was, like, I had a good view of one of the Rabbanim in town and his porch. And I saw a guy come. It was the morning of Erev Pesach. I saw a guy come, and the Rav sat down with him on his back porch with a big pile of papers. And I could tell that he was explaining to him, he was selling that guy the chametz for over Pesach. It was like a real business deal. That is mutter. Now what happens if after all of this somebody finds chametz in his house? So if it's on Yontif, like the first days of Yontif, then you cover it on Yontif, and you burn it on Chol Hamoed. If you find it on Chol Hamoed, you just burn it. If you find it the last days of Yontif, you cover it and burn it after Pesach. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but, you know, sometimes it does happen, so that's the halacha of what should be done. That's what we're going to discuss about Chodesh Nisan. We discussed names of Chodesh Nisan, Minhagim of Chodesh Nisan, Shabbat Gadol, names of Pesach, Chametz, Bedikas Chametz, Bira Chametz, Nechiras Chametz, and finally Chametz and a half on Pesach. And Mirza Hashem, the school will keep you posted about recordings for Haggadah. And like I said, those girls who would like to write it down are welcome to pick up a Haggadah Wednesday or Thursday. Somebody at the cat's home or the dry home. On the porch, just walk up and take it at any time. And we will speak at a different point. Have a wonderful day. Bye.